Tell you, yesterday we had a ball. The members of the church, my goodness gracious. Those who signed up to go to the baseball game, the minor league in Columbia, that was remarkable. Oh, I had so much fun. And then the group Caleb and John that you hear on Caleb, they were there singing. It was just remarkable. I enjoyed that. And I have never seen a fireworks show like that in my life. That was spectacular. I can't wait for the next baseball game. I'm not even into it like that. But it was just nice. Popcorn was way too salty, but other than that, it was real good. I gave both bags away. I took it from my children. I said, no, this is too much. Amen. God is good. God is good. So I'm sure you've been following the news this week. We had America and Russia to come together.
Yes, sir.
The Russian president came over to Alaska.
Yes.
And they met. Now, it wasn't a ceasefire, because you know they've been fighting Ukraine. It wasn't a ceasefire, but and President Trump has been getting a lot of flack because it wasn't a ceasefire, but you can't make people do anything,
right.
You know? But they are looking towards a peace agreement.
Yes.
You see, Russia wants some of the land that Ukraine has. Now, Ukraine has some, it's not just dirt. They have minerals, they got all kind of stuff that's worth a lot. So that's why this war is basically over land. Putin, the president of Russia, he's like, you give me some of that land, and we'll kind of back off. And Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, like, no, Shooks, we ain't doing that. You can forget that. You shall not have this land. And so he's coming tomorrow to meet with President Trump, Zelensky.
Yes.
See what happens. We got to pray for the world, the whole world. Try to stop this fighting and stuff over. Well, anytime you see something that's just crazy, you better believe money is involved.
You better believe.
Because people are like, why are they fighting? What is the war all about? It's money. It is money. So we just have to pray.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? We just have to pray. That's all we have to do is pray.
Exactly.
That's all. They're in, ooh, I love that Holy Spirit. They are in position, but we are in control.
Amen.
Amen.
They're in position, but we're in control.
Yeah.
The Bible says, pray for your leaders.
Right.
So that we can live, as the Bible says, a peaceful life. In all godliness and honesty.
Amen.
Yes, the Bible instructs rulers and leaders how they are to lead. But we have to pray. Why? Because they don't have their hearts. They don't have their own hearts. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants to turn it. Just like he turns the water courses, the rivers, and the seas. So we pray to God and he turns the hearts.
Amen.
That's the way it happens.
Amen.
We have never, ever, ever had a Russian president to come to Alaska, is of course owned by the U.S., to come to not just the U.S., yes, they've come to the U.S., but never to one of our military sites.
Yeah.
He came to one of our military sites, but it was grand. I don't know if you saw, it was grand. They had the red carpet. They had military planes flying over, and President Trump gave President Putin a gift, and President Putin gave Donald Trump a gift. I mean, it was nice. It was very, very, very nice. So let's be nice, amen? If they can be nice, we can definitely be nice to each other. So read the news or watch the news and pray about what is happening.
Amen.
It's still fighting. Stuff is still going on. And we just have to pray. Amen?
Yes.
All right. Now, I am ready to continue this series. This series has just been remarkable to me. And so many people have talked about the series and how it's helping them, how it's giving them what they need for themselves. Why? Because of who God is, and they're finding out more about God. They're finding out more about their relationship with God, who they are, why they are who they are. Because you have a purpose.
Yes.
You're not just here because God didn't have anything else to do.
Amen.
When he created you.
Right.
Amen.
You're here for a purpose. Amen to God.
Amen.
So this is actually part 8 of understanding serpents.
Amen.
Just before Jesus sent his disciples out to minister, he gave them specific instructions in Matthew 10:16. Behold, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary and wise as serpents, and be innocent, harmless, guileless, and without falsity as doves. As I've said before, serpents have extremely poor, what is a serpent? It's a snake. They have extremely poor eyesight and cannot hear airborne sounds. So they can't rely on those senses for awareness, yet they rarely miss what they're meant to hit. And just in case you didn't know, the reason people are afraid of snakes is because they are so accurate.
Yes.
Because they rarely miss.
Amen.
Also, just in case you didn't know, the reason they're so accurate, even though they're nearly blind and they can't hear airborne sounds, is their tongues collect what is called scent particles that go right into the roof of their mouth, into an organ, and that organ lets them know how big something is, where it is, the whole nine yards.
Amen.
And so they're able to strike with precision. Now, demons should be afraid of us, just like most people are afraid of snakes. They should be afraid of us because of our precision, how we strike. And that's what we've been talking about.
Yes.
Somebody say, demons fear? Yes, demons fear. It's all in the Bible. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yes.
He's not exercising. Flee means to run. No, fear. Jesus came to cast these demons out. What did the devil say? Are you here to torment us before the time? They were afraid. Yes, demons fear. I don't have time to really, really, really go into it, but the demon world, they have hierarchies. And there are master demons, and then there are others. There are imps who are out there. And they get in trouble when you don't sin after temptation. They get in trouble and they are disciplined. It has been well documented by those who are Satan worshipers, well, ex-Satan worshipers. They are disciplined because they failed. They tried to get you to sin and you did not. And they are disciplined. Why do you think they try so hard? So get a devil in trouble. That should be a t-shirt. Get a devil in trouble.
Amen.
Do what's right. All right. Now, Ephesians 6:12, we've been studying this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You don't fight people. If you're fighting people, that demon is just going to use another people.
Yes.
but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've talked about the principalities, talked about powers, and I want to go now to 1 John 3:8, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. There's only one devil. There are many demons, but only one devil, and that devil, his name is Satan. If we commit sin, we are of the devil. That's just it. And Jesus even said to a group of people, you are of your father, the devil, for the lusts of your father you will do. And it's going to be very, very important for us to know, especially getting towards the end of this message. So if we take our character from the devil, then we are of him. If we act like the devil, how does the devil act? I want to do my own thing. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge me. I'm not going to acknowledge God. I'm going to seek me. I'm not going to seek God. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's just it. Yes. As we like to say, I'm grown. And I can do what I want to do. And that's not what the Bible says. That's not how we're supposed to live. For the devil's sin violated the divine law from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God was made manifest, the reason Jesus came and was manifested, is to destroy, he was made visible to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done.
Yes.
He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, but I'm getting out of here. Y'all are the light of the world. So now we have to undo, destroy, and loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done.
Amen. Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do. Why did Jesus heal the sick? To undo what the devil did.
Yes.
Amen.
Why did he raise the dead? He didn't raise all dead people. Did you notice that? Jesus didn't raise everybody that died. Every time Jesus did a miracle, there was a purpose.
All right.
There was a purpose. People came to him in faith. He raised them. Man with the withered hand. He had a withered hand and he healed him. Why? There was a purpose. There was research done. And I mentioned this months ago. There was research done that said that, of course, in Israel, they honored the Sabbath day. So they would not work on the Sabbath day. But the Roman government was like, no, you're going to work for us, or we're going to make sure you can never work ever again. And they would take stone and crush the hand of the dominant hand of the one who would not work for them because of their Sabbath. And the Romans didn't care about that. So because the devil crushed this man's hand, Jesus healed it. It was more of a political statement like, no, Roman government, you will not destroy this man's livelihood where he cannot work at all anymore. So when we look at the miracles of Jesus, there is a purpose.
Yes.
Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't just come down, hey, be healed. Ho, walk. Hey, there you go. No. There was a purpose. He wasn't showing off.
Amen.
And that will help you when you go to pray for somebody. Father, what is the purpose?
Yes.
What is your purpose? You know, I try to pray for people. I lay hands, you know, like the Bible said, and I pray, and they're still sick. What was your purpose? For them to feel better. I don't see that in the Bible.
Amen.
Why was Jesus walking on water? I want to show off. No. There's a purpose. Oh my We saw the purpose. Peter had to learn something. If this is you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. He said one word, come. And that wasn't just instructions, but when Jesus tells us to do anything, we also get the power to do it.
Yes.
So when he said, come, Peter got instructions and power to walk on the water.
Yes.
Jesus said, I want you to see me do it so you know do it. I'm going to be your example. That is who we are. But he said, listen now, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. So I said, you know, we try to tell people about Jesus. I try to talk to people about Jesus and witness. And, you know, people are some type of way. Well, he told us, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. What do wolves do to sheep? Kill them, eat them. So it's not easy. Go out there. Witness to something. You know you half scared to talk to people now about Jesus. Somebody standing in front of you at Walmart. Holy Spirit said, tap them on the shoulder and say, what church do you go to? Or how you doing today? Oh, we got a little break in the hot weather, didn't we?
Yes.
Or if you want to be a little nosy, oh, I see you got the squash. Is it on sale? Just start the conversation.
Amen.
And let's go. I mean, it's not a secret. I see you have squash in your cart. If you didn't want me to know, you would have ordered it from home and have them to bring it to. Start the conversation.
Amen.
Okay, I got an amen and a yes, Lord. Everybody else? No. I know you answered inside. I know you did. The reason Son of Man was made manifest, visible, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. Don't let a day go by that you don't undo something that the devil did. Don't let another day go by. Somebody said, how in the world can I do that? Go in any store. My plan is to get food from Piggly Wiggly today. Already cooked. Just tell them what I want. I want the mac and cheese in the big part. And then that's what I'm talking about. And I promise you, I'm going to find somebody in there who's not smiling. And so I'm going to undo whatever that devil has done. You know, the easiest people to minister to who are usually not happy are cashiers. It is very rare to see a cashier, hi, boop, boop, boop. You don't see that. Cashiers, waiters, waitresses, I know you got a smile, but I can tell you really don't want to. So let me undo this right now. You know, have fun with them. I usually like to say when I'm using my card, I say, listen, if my card doesn't work, try yours. And they do what you just did. They laugh. And then mine works. I say, wow, I had money? Have fun with people. Lighten their day. And you can use that joke, if my bullet fits your gun, shoot it.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm not violent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk today about the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, look at this. The rulers of the darkness of this world, they are called the Lord, or they lord over the world. They rule over the world. Now, when I say world, I'm talking about those outside of Christians.
Amen.
Those who are worldly, those who are unsaved. They lord over the world. The prince of this age, the devil and demons are called in the plural rulers of the darkness of this world. And so they lord over. Principalities, what type of demons are those? Y'all remember? Wait a minute. They are the first on the scene. Principal, first. They're the ones with that gives you that initial shock.
Yes.
When something happens, you get a phone call. What? It's the initial shock. That's principalities. What did we study next? Powers. Who are the powers? You know what? What's that? They are superior to human beings. The realm of the angels and demons. Angels and demons are on the same level in terms of power.
Yes.
Something interesting to note, if you never heard this or didn't think about it, Satan is not the exact opposite of God.
Nope.
There is no way in the world. Satan was an angel. God created Satan. How can they be exact opposites?
Right.
They are not. So don't look at Satan as if he is just oh so far above you, because the Bible says that, and we read this, that humans were made just a little lower than the angels.
Yes.
Satan was made just a little lower than every single one of you. Or we were made, rather, a little lower than the angels.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says when we behold Satan, the Bible says, it's going to say, is this the one? That the nations were scared of?
Amen.
This? What the devil? Understand who you are. We only come up against demons. Most people never ever come up against Satan himself. But if you did, you can resist him and he will flee.
Amen.
We were made. We're just talking about what we have by ourselves.
Yes.
But what we have through the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the word of God, his authority on our lives, there is no demon, including Satan, that is above us.
Amen.
Not one.
Amen.
It is a shame every time we sin. Because we have stooped way down to their level.
Yep.
We never, ever, ever have to sin. If you have ever thought or believed, if you're under the spell, that everybody sins all the time, everybody sins. Please get from under that spell.
Yes.
Amen.
Because that is, everybody sins every day. That is a huge lie. Say what? Don't get from under that spell. Believe something else, please. Hopefully, as it is now 11:51, you haven't sinned yet.
No.
This morning. And all we're going to go do is go eat and take a nap. So ain't going to be no sin in there. And then when you wake up and you do whatever else you need to do and get ready and go to bed. So you mean to tell me you just have to sin today?
No.
We just got to sin today. You have had more sinless days than you know.
Amen.
But what about the temptations that come? I get tempted. I'm like, see, I'm not even fully delivered yet. But if that's the case, Jesus wasn't fully delivered because the Bible says he was tempted.
Yes, he was.
Amen.
Temptation, being tempted isn't a sin.
Nope.
We think because something tempts us and we feel something in us wanting to do this evil that we have sinned. That is not a sin.
Amen.
Show me any scripture that says temptation is sin. And I will show you, you reading a cornflakes Bible, because it is not in the word of God. When you do what the temptation wants you to do, then you and I have sinned.
Amen.
But other than that, there's no sin. I'm just tempted. I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, I said like that. I was born and raised in Orangeburg. I ain't doing nothing. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to be saved.
Right.
And I'm going to stay saved.
Amen.
All right. So the devil and these demons hold dominions, territories, areas in the dark world. Entrusted to them in the order of things, in the realms of darkness. I'm taking my time because you need to understand this. Rulers of darkness of this world, they're over certain areas of sin, certain territories. And the Bible says these are who we are fighting. I don't have to see them. I don't have to hear them. But I have what I need inside of me to win.
Right.
So again, these demons hold dominions. They hold territories entrusted to them. They are over these territories in the realms of darkness. Now, I'm not talking about above the sky, and then above that, the clouds, and then above. No, I'm talking about right here on earth. Darkness right here on earth. They are over that. There's a certain demon in Orangeburg County that's over the drugs. And it is a huge thing. Huge, huge, huge thing for Orangeburg County. That's why we see a lot of drugs. Because Orangeburg is the halfway point between where? New York and Miami. And so this is the halfway point. A lot of meetings take place here. And that's why you'd be like, they confiscated that much in Little Orangeburg? Little Orangeburg is the halfway point. It has been the halfway point, of course, since America became America, but since drugs, especially back in the 80s, oh my gracious day, you would find it crazy here. And they're still battling that. So there is a rule of darkness of this world over the drugs in this area. There are gangs here. There is a rule of darkness of this world over the gangs here in Orangeburg County. This is who we fight against. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. That's why we have to pray. You say, I go pray. I don't know what to pray about. What's in Orangeburg or wherever you live? What's there?
Amen.
Everybody living right? Everything doing right? No. Pray. Declare. Get rid of stuff. Right. Tell stuff where to go, and then don't you dare come back. So not only do demons love darkness, they lord, they rule over it relationally because they need people to do the dirty work. So that's what happens. I guarantee if there is a sin, if there's something that you find difficult, I promise you it's the same thing over and over and over and over. Whatever it is that sin is hard, it's the same one over and over and over. Nobody in here has 20 different things. That's just the hardest thing in the world for me to get rid of. No, it's usually one or two things. We're closer to perfection meaning living right before God, than we know.
Amen.
Think about it. The things that I do wrong, can I even think of six things that are just so difficult? There's no way. Nobody has that. Nobody has that. I said, yeah, if I think about it, now that's you have to even think about it. Wow. See how you're getting free already? Getting free already. So therefore, if we operate in relationship to and with darkness is simple or extended disobedience to God, which is sin.
Yes.
Like simple sin, I did this. This isn't a stronghold for me. I did it. I knew it was wrong. Father, please forgive me. It's not a temptation for me, so I'll probably never, ever do this again. But then you have extended disobedience where, no, these are the things, a couple things or so that's just hard, or the one thing that's just hard. Those demons lord over us because rulers have governmental power over those who operate under their rule. So every time we sin, we are submitting to a ruler of darkness. And if we're living in a particular sin, where people say, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. No, rulers aren't through with you yet. Rulers of darkness of this world. God doesn't work on people. God is working on me. God doesn't work on people. God commands and we obey.
Amen.
That's just it. That's just like my little son saying, Daddy, I know you told me to take out the trash. I know you told me to clean the room, but I know you're still working on me. Now you see. God is our father, just like I'm Joshua's father. Oh, no, I ain't working on you. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't working on you. Not at all. They were at the house. They got up and got dressed, and they had time. So they went and took some blankets, and we have a game table that's about this high. And so they went and put blankets all around it and went inside. They made themselves a fort. And the outside was messy. I came out to check on them because I needed to. It got quiet. I said, now, I don't mind y'all building a fort or a tent or whatever this contraption is. I didn't say that part. But it's messy. Y'all need to clean the mess up. Clean the mess up. You can play, but it's not going to be messy. Okay? They didn't say, oh, I know you're working on us. We'll get it. Just going back and finish getting ready. We'll get to it later. Right? No.
Amen.
It's the same way.
Yes.
It's the same way with our Father. He's not working on us. He tells, hallelujah. He tells us what to do, and we do it. So if you wonder why it's so hard for you to do right, you have rulers who have governmental power over you because you submitted to do. I submitted to do what they wanted me to do.
Wow.
And so now I've given them the rule. It's like I went and voted for them to preside over me, which is where they get the word president from, preside. The president presides over the country. You rule over me. So, Lord, in reference to God, whenever he speaks or acts to preserve, judge, or bless his people, this is what Lord is. Whenever he speaks to or acts to preserve, to judge, or to bless his people, biblical text often uses this personal, this is very important, y'all, please don't sleep on this. This personal name rather than a generic title, God. Lord is very important. The wives back in the day would call their husbands Lord. It's personal. Rather than the generic title, God, stressing his intimate relationship with his covenant community.
Amen.
Lord. We're going to see something that's going to be, oof. So, let's discover the first chronological instance in the Bible when God was called Lord. Now, I love the chronological Bible, because the Bible as it is not written chronologically. So I like studying the chronological Bible, and it's very important because you'll see, of course, what happened before something else happened. So there is a thought, there is a theory that has been proven for centuries that the first, it's called the law of first mention, if you want to look it up, the law of first mention. So when a theme is first mentioned in the Bible, where that theme is situated and how it is explained, it usually follows that same pattern throughout the rest of the Bible. So I get the chronological Bible so that I can see where this was first mentioned. Just like, believe it or not, love was first mentioned when God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac, whom you love. That was the first time ever in the Bible that love was mentioned. And then, of course, God so loved the world. You know, he gave his son. He told Abraham, give his son. He gave his son. Love has always followed that theme by giving. Yes. It's what you do. So, but first, let's go Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So here, God is Elohim, emphasizing God's supreme creative power and authority, foundational before facing any enemy. He's God. This is not personal. Again, God, his position, it is about creative power, authority, is very foundational before facing an enemy. I am God. It is not personable. So, the first time we see Lord in the Bible is Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, made the earth and the heavens. The Bible says God created the earth for it to be inhabited. He wanted and still wants relationship.
Amen.
Oh, how he wants close relationships with each of us. You don't know how God feels whenever we avoid him. We don't want to spend time with him. Oh, my gracious day. If I told Joshua or Maya, hey, let's go here. No, I don't want to go anywhere with you. Ooh. I come to sit and just talk with them. Daddy, I don't want to talk with you. We do that to God. How much time did God get from you yesterday, personally? Oh, we have to think about that. He wants that time. Let's not look at prayer as a chore. I got to pray. I know I have to pray. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to pray. No, that's my dad. I'm talking to him. And he's talking to me. Prayer is not a speech. It's a conversation. Prayer is not a speech. It's a conversation. So, this is where we see Lord God. The first mention of Lord God shifting from creator to covenant keeper. God keeps covenant with us. What does that mean? I promise that I will do this if you do that. This is a covenant. You do this, I promise you I'll do that. It's relationship. Now, this is crucial because the enemy often tries to strip away the Lord aspect to make God seem distant and impersonal. Lord is personal and relational because he is binding himself to his creation through his promises and through his care. I'm Lord. I lord over you. Remember?
Yes.
We're talking about the rulers of darkness of this world. They lord over the darkness. God lords. He is our Lord. Oh, okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1, 4, and 5, now the serpent was more, now listen, Satan took the form of a serpent. I know we're talking about understanding serpents. But please don't give the snake a bad rap just because Satan decided to use a snake to come to Eve with, all right?
Amen.
Snakes aren't evil just because Satan decided.
Right.
Snakes just out there trying to eat just like we are. That's all that is. They actually try to avoid striking anything that they're not going to eat.
Yeah.
You can study it. They do everything they can to avoid striking anything that they're not going to eat. They would much rather just crawl away. That's their nature. So here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He stripped away Lord. He was called Lord. He stripped it away. Someone said, I don't know. Oh, I'll prove it to you later that he did it intentionally. Now down to verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For, again, God, just keeping the relationship out, doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that was true. Because the Bible says in the New Testament, God wants us ignorant of evil. He doesn't even want us to know about evil. He wants us to only know the good. So I say, you can't live in this world blind. You better. How can you be tempted with something that you don't know exists?
Amen.
So the serpent drops Lord and only says God, intentionally removing the covenant, personal relationship aspect to frame God as a distant authority rather than our faithful Father. Speaking of names, Anthony, I am getting a word. I got a word from the Lord. God said when he called you, he called you Anthony. He didn't call you Bat-Bat. When he called you Anthony. And he's saying, that's the name I've anointed. I've anointed your name because that name is, I know there are probably millions of Anthonys. But he anointed that name for you. And that's the name he wants you to use. Be it in business, in rapping, everywhere you go. He wants you to use the name Anthony. He said, because when I called him, he said, I didn't even call him by his last name when I called him to preach. When I called him into the ministry, I called him Anthony.
Amen.
Just talk about names. Lord, Lord God. So I called. And he said, the struggles, the inner struggles, everything that you've been going through is for your ministry. The enemy is attacking your ministry. It's nothing else. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's your ministry. Now he's saying identity. I call you Anthony. Don't you let anybody else, or don't even yourself, call yourself anything other than Anthony. Because God said, every time I talk about you, every time I speak, it's Anthony. Anthony. And the devil just wants to attack your ministry so that the folk, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because the focus, so your focus can be somewhere and God is saying, I'm ready for you.
Amen.
It's not even position, it's purpose. Devils can't stand what you're hearing right now. Everything, all it is just because of your ministry. Because God said platform. He has a platform for Anthony. He has a platform for Anthony. And that is his focus. No other position, that's his focus.
Amen.
And you're going to see it happen. You're Anthony. Be Anthony, be anointed. Because what God has planned for your ministry is going to be something that you never even planned. Never even planned. So as God focuses you on ministry, and you're like, I'm Anthony. I'm Anthony. And I hear that. I don't know if that's going to be the title of your, we don't do CDs no more. I don't know what they call them now. What, albums? Okay, Tyler, yeah, it used to be cassette CDs. But I'm Anthony.
Amen.
I just keep hearing that echoing, I'm Anthony. I don't know if that's going to be the title of the album, you said it called album, or if that's going to be a title of maybe one of your, mixtape, EP, whatever it is, I'm Anthony. T-shirts, your own line, I'm Anthony. So I say, ain't nobody going to wear something. No, that's going to mean something.
Amen.
Because of my testimony.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the serpent drops Lord and only says God, intentionally removing the covenant, personal relationship aspect to frame God as a distant authority rather than our faithful God. Moses, who is the author of this book of Genesis, returns to the personal relationship. Ooh. Right here in this same chapter. And after they had sinned, Eve and Adam sinned, and they heard the voice of who? The Lord God. Oh, I'm not finished. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, you know that had to be something to hear a voice walk. To hear his voice walk. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And who? The Lord God.
Yes.
Called unto, this is relationship. Called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I went through the house looking for the children this morning. Joshua, Maya. They under their little tent fort thing. Gracious thing. Where are you? Where art thou? God, the second time I've heard it, God is asking people, where are you? We're in relationship, but where are you right now? What were you doing? I got stuff for you to do, and you over here focusing on, where are you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anthony, the Lord just said, don't worry about, have I lost something that I could have had? Because God said, no, all of that has been restored in this season because Jesus is coming soon, and you got to get busy. So there's nothing lost. He said, nothing is lost. And now he said, everybody, please take that, because I'm sure going to take it. Nothing has been lost. Nothing. As a matter of fact, restoration is coming faster than you thought. It's coming faster than you thought. So be ready. Hallelujah. Be ready. Restoration is coming faster than you thought. I don't care about what people say. Well, I did this, I did that, I did the other. God's like, and you restored.
Amen.
And then God said, and I did that. Restored you.
Yes.
And that's going to be God's testimony, the Holy Spirit just said. When people are doing what God has called them to do, and people are like, how are they doing this? They did this, they did that, they did the other. God's going to say, why they restored? I did that. Don't say they did that. Talk about what I did that.
Yes.
Talk about them if you want to. Go ahead, talk about them. Oh, do you know that scripture? Do you know the Bible says that God's hand is raised about to strike?
Amen.
Don't play with your father. I'm telling y'all. We don't have to worry about enemies. We don't have to worry about people talking about us and stuff.
Amen.
God is like, say it again. Just say it again. Why do you think we serve him? We don't say our Father because it just sounds so sweet. No, that's who he is.
Amen.
You don't mess with me. People about to find out. I'm speaking prophetically. People about to find out. You don't mess with me.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not going to do a thing. My hands are going to be just as clean as they are right now because I wash my hands. And I keep them clean.
Amen.
You wash your hands and you keep them clean.
Amen.
Watch what I say. God's about to get them.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to rejoice at the downfall.
Nope.
Now I'm talking about us. When I say I'm talking about us. You're not going to rejoice. Something happened. Hey. God, I just give you glory. That's your judgment. We don't rejoice. Somebody talk bad about us and something bad happens to them. We don't rejoice.
No.
That's between them and God. You don't want to get into that.
Amen.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
So Jesus is the Lord of his church. Those who obey him. That's his church. Those who obey him. And we know the world opposes, is opposite of his church. And just as Jesus is Lord of his church, the world also has lords whom they obey.
Amen.
We strike back and destroy the works of the rulers of darkness of this world by obeying God's only. Strictly obeying God only, strictly keeping all forms of dark world, of the dark world, out of our lives.
Amen.
Just simply obey. That's how we strike back, by simply obeying. Rulers of the darkness of this world, we're fighting against you. All you have to do is obey.
Yes. Amen.
You don't have to fast for 3 days and three nights to obey. How do you defy a ruler of the dark world? Just simply don't do what the ruler says do.
Yes.
Amen.
Someone said, what? That just seems so simple though. Okay, cool. Let me put it in normal terms. Your boss tells you to do one thing, you do something else. Okay, all right, I see that. And then the next day you do something. Right, now, wait a minute. Why are you fighting me on this? I mean, I told everybody, dude, why are you fighting me? I mean, it's been a whole week. You have not done. It's a fight. Now you see, you're not doing what the ruler says to do. That is fighting.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Go to work this week and do the opposite of what your boss said do for the whole week. That's what we're supposed to do to demons. Well, Marshall, you're your own boss, so I mean, you know. They better not do it. Oh, that's your boss. Ah, you got it. So, disobedience is righteous when you're disobeying a who? Ruler
of the
darkness. Okay, y'all stay with me. We're almost about to go home, or for some of us, Piggly Wiggly. So when we disobey the ruler of darkness, we strike him back. We're fighting. Isn't that something? Disobedience is fighting. Wow.
Amen.
I love it. Okay, cool. So, the life work assignment, ask the Holy Spirit to alert you. I already did this because I wrote it. Ask the Holy Spirit to alert you the very moment you're knowingly or unknowingly about to step into darkness and be lorded over by the demon assigned to that area of evil.
Amen.
Again, ask the Holy Spirit to alert you. Ask him before it even happens. Holy Spirit, alert me the very moment I am either knowingly or unknowingly about to step into darkness, and I'm about to be lorded over by the demon assigned to that area of evil. Please alert me immediately, because I may not be paying attention. So alert me, Holy Spirit, every single time. We say, we know when we're about to do wrong. Sometimes we're not thinking. Like, well, I'll just go through this red light because I'm running late and get up early. I was telling the pastor a couple of days ago, we were out, Joshua and I and Amaya were out eating with this pastor a couple of days ago. And I was sharing with him, because Amaya was asking, why are we going to, it was Pastor Nikki, why are we going to his church early, so early Saturday morning? I said, because I don't like being on time. I like being early. I can't stand being on time for anything at all. I just, it does something to me. How in the world the thing starts at 6 and you get there at 6? What is that?
Amen.
That's a spell. It really, really is. I'll get there, you know. I like to be early. Because, and I'm writing about it. I already started writing about it. Because we want to be on time. No. I don't want to be on time. I want to be where I am to be and let time catch up to me. I don't want to be on time. When you're early, the one who is rushing, the one who is in a hurry, fears time. It's a fear there. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I just don't have the time. I'm already way over my time. But you never want to try to be on time early, because if you're trying to be on time, you're going to rush. If you're late, you're rushing because you fear the time that's coming, because I want to be on time. That's a bunch of stuff. That is a spell that you will be under. Just focus on being early.
Amen.
And you'll get rid of all that. So our expected behavior, just using Leviticus 19:4. Turn ye, this is God's command, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am who? The Lord your God. Somebody say, I serve God, I don't serve idols. You look at TikTok more than you give God time. Who's really in control? Well, not control, because God doesn't control. We obey freely.
Amen.
We have free will. But who gets most of our time? What gets most of our attention? I'm not saying you can't get on TikTok or Facebook. What is the focus? Holy Spirit just said, engage. We get so engaged with this and laughing and ooh and commenting and liking and sharing. And then we go in prayer. Oh, well, Lord, I'm here again. Where's engagement? What's going on? What's happening?
Amen.
Who or what are we really, really serving? It's very important. It's very, very important. You have a best friend and y'all hanging out and you just on your phone. Hey, come on, man. Oh, come on, girl. What you doing? I mean, we're supposed to be hanging out and you on your phone. How do you think God looks at that? Well, God already knows everything. Let's get out of that spell. God already knows everything. He knows how things are. So, you know, that's not how that works. God cannot be intimate with his knowledge. He can only be intimate with us. Even if he knows we are about to, and I've said this a lot, but for those who haven't heard this, we can say to God, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to pray. And he knows we are going to do it, but that does not affect him. What affects him is when we actually obey and we get up and do it. That affects God. God's knowledge never affects him. He's not intimate with his knowledge. God didn't say, oh, I know you're about to give your tithes and offerings, so I'm going to go ahead and bless you. No, I will bless you after.
Amen.
The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Amen. Not, I know you're going to ask, so I'm just going to go. No. Seek, then you'll find. Knock, then the door will be open. I need to interact with you. Draw nigh to God, draw near to God, then he will draw near to you. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
He's waiting on us. Again, don't say, well, God already knows. It doesn't matter. It never affects him until we do what he knows. Then he becomes intimate. Remember, he's Lord. It's a relationship that he has with us. So let's pray. Father, we just love you. We just praise you. Thank you for teaching us today. Thank you for showing us the power that we have. Jesus said it. We have power over all the power of the devil. And we do. We have power over all the demons. We know exactly what to do when we face principalities, when we face powers, when we face the rulers of darkness of this world. And next week, we're going to know what to do even for those who are the spiritual wickedness in high places. Those who have that type of authority that, Father God, you even allow them to have. We're going to know exactly what to do to fight and win against them, as you have for this week and the past 2 weeks. So, Father, we just love you and praise you and thank you for the authority that you have given to men, women, boys, and girls who serve and love you and obey you. Thank you for it all, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, there may be someone here, you don't know Jesus. Maybe you did, but you left, and you want to come back. Or maybe you're like, I just need to redo this. I need Jesus to just unloosen something, just take some stuff, and I need God. I need a redo. I need a do-over. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes briefly before we leave, because this is extremely important. There is no miracle on earth greater than the salvation of a soul. No miracle. Not walking on water, not raising an entire graveyard of people. Not one miracle is greater than the salvation of one soul. So if you want to experience the greatest miracle ever, give your life to God. Just right where you are, those here and those listening and watching, just simply repeat after me, even if you're saying it in a whisper, but you have to say it with your mouth. Just simply say, Father, I come before you now by Jesus Christ, who died for me and who you raised from the dead. Raise me now out of the depth of all my sins. Put your life in me. Come into my life, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I give you my life. I don't have it any longer. Thank you for saving me. I belong to you now. Not to me or anyone else. You have my life. Use me. Lord, you are my Lord. I love our relationship, and it will grow, I promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's praise the Lord.